You're going to need the filling sheet more than ever before this morning. If you're visiting, grab one of these, because we're going to need it later on. Here's a question. What do the following TV programs have in common? Okay? Jeremy Kyle, Judge Judy, Jerry Springer, Trisha, Judge Rinder, Dr. Phil, and Steve Wilco. Want them again? Jeremy Kyle, Judge Judy, Jerry Springer, Trisha, Judge Rinder, Dr. Phil, Steve Wilco. What have they got in common? Anything? They're on the telly. They're on the telly, that's good. I'll need a bit more than that. You're getting closer. Ask Frances earlier, she says they're all rubbish. She was fairly close on that. But, well, nearly, shouting and screaming. The one thing they've got in common is that they all deal in the main with people's problems. You know, you've got to watch some. If you want to laugh, watch some of those. You know, marriage problems, drug addiction problems, financial problems, family problems. Another child on the way, and I've already got four under five, and I'm not sure who the father is of this one. Problems. If you've never watched any of them, don't. But that's the sort of kind of problems they are. And the one thing that seems to be common in these programs and in the folk who are crazy enough to appear on these programs is that most of them show incredible immaturity. And that's what we're going to look at today. People get themselves into terrible situations because of their immaturity. They say immature things, they make immature decisions, they act in an immature way. And the thing is, sometimes us in the church, we're not immune from this. And one of the purposes of the church is to make sure that we grow together in faith, that we become mature Christians. But I got thinking, what then is maturity? How do we know if we're mature? So today, at no expense, I have got a maturity test for all of you. It's a Christian maturity self-assessment test. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Now, it's for your eyes only. I'm not taking them in. Maybe I should, but I'm not taking them in. So you can take them away home and you can, you know, compare them with your wife or somebody. And you're kidding. I thought you were worse than that. But that's what we can do. Before we look at Christian maturity, we've got to see what maturity is not. Because sometimes we get confused as to what Christian maturity is. Here's the first thing it's not. Fill in number one. Christian maturity doesn't necessarily come with age. Just doesn't. You know, folk think they can sort of sit in a pew, sit there for 50 years, and then, whoo, well, this guy here becomes mature. Not necessarily. Neither is it dependent on how long you've been a Christian. You can be a Christian for 60 years, still be immature. So there's no relationship between how old you are or how long you've been a Christian and maturity. Maybe there should be, but it's often the case it's not. Filling number two says Christian maturity is not intelligence. Some folk equate maturity in the Christian life with intelligence. Because many intelligent people, they show immature behaviour. You can have a degree, you can have a PhD, but this in itself does not make you mature. God says maturity is an attitude. It's in your character. And the evangelist D.L. Moody once said this. He says, character is what you are in the dark. And I think that's a great definition. Your character is what you are in the dark. Nobody's there. Nobody's there to see you. That's your maturity. So how then do we know if we're mature or not? It's not by comparing ourselves with other people. It's by comparing ourselves with God's ideal as to what maturity is. And that's what we're going to do. And there's no better place to see this than in the letter of James. And we're going to sort of do a whistle stop tour through James this morning. But we're going to look at maturity specifically. Five times in five chapters, James talks about being mature or being complete or being perfect. Same words. So he keeps coming back and back to this idea of Christian maturity. In fact, James is really a manual for Christian maturity. So we're going to have a wee overview, see what it says. And then, by the end of the assessment, I'll be able to assess whether we need to look at James or not. You know, we do so well in this quiz this morning. Everyone does fine. You might say, well, we might not need it. John, give us Ecclesiastes or something. So we're going to see that. We're going to come at the end. So, because I get the feeling some folk might not fill this in. It's just a wee warning. We're going to need some feedback this morning. So, and just to make it easy for you, what I've got is we've got a wee scale there. We're marking ourselves from 1 to 5 on every question. First question, question A. A mature Christian is positive under pressure. That's the first one. Positive under pressure. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. So the first question is, how do you handle trials? You know, when trials come your way, how do you handle them? Do you get negative? Do you get uptight? Do you get worried? Do you grumble or gripe? What's your natural attitude when facing problems? Are you positive under pressure? Or are you not? This is your first test. Mark yourself. 1 for being terrible under pressure, 5 for good, or anywhere in between. It's like being back at school. Isn't it great? Some folk are saying we're still at school. I know. B. A mature Christian is sensitive with people. That's the second thing. A mature Christian is sensitive with people. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you're doing right. A mature person is sensitive to the needs of other people. They don't see their own needs first. They're not just interested in themselves. They don't have the me first attitude of a child. Not long ago, I was standing in this queue waiting to pay for my coffee. And you know how sometimes you know something's going to happen. There was this woman there. She had her little daughter there. You know, looked as though butter wouldn't melt. She was about 4. And the mum said to the daughter then, do you want a bar of chocolate or a drink? Easy question. Bar of chocolate or a drink? She wanted both. The mum says, no. Bar of chocolate or a drink? Well, the wee girl was good. She fell to the floor. You know, she did the dying fly. You know the dying fly thing? She did the wee dying fly. And the mum was even better, because she was not fazed at all. She just looked. And after about 20 seconds, she says, well, I think I'll have to eat the chocolate. She was up. And I thought, that was good. The problem is sometimes we take this me-first attitude into adult behaviour. And James gets very specific in his letter. He says, with people, don't show favouritism. Don't be a snob. Don't judge by appearances. Don't insult people. Don't exploit people. Don't think me. So the second test for our maturity is, how do we treat other people? How sensitive are we to the needs of other people? Mark yourself on the scale. 1 for insensitive, 5 for very sensitive, or somewhere in between. I think I'll get some of you in this one. See, a mature person has mastered their mouth. See, some folk are waiting one straight away. I see that. Yeah. Some folk are saying, you are a one. Let me put one down. I recently saw a TV programme where, I mean, some of the things I watch is strange, but I was amazed how much a doctor can tell about a person just by looking at their tongue. You know, allergies, liver problems, diabetes. where they're going wrong in their relationship. Well, maybe not the last one, but almost. So when the doctor says, you know, stick out your tongue, he's not being rude. He can tell a lot from your tongue. Just from looking at it. In a similar way, God can tell a lot about our maturity just by looking at how we use our tongue. Because self-control comes from tongue control. And we can easily get ourselves into trouble just by what we say. You know, are you a gossip? You know? I came across a great definition of a gossip. I love this. Gossip is hearing something you like about someone you don't. Isn't that a good one? Gossip is hearing something you like about someone you don't. What you can say can direct your life, but what you can say can also destroy your life. Or just as important, it can destroy the life of other people. Your tongue, James says, is a powerful force. It's a force for evil or good, depending on how we use our tongues. And you say, well, maybe, you know, it's just the way I am. I just speak my mind. So we are made. And I want to say this morning, maybe what's on your mind shouldn't be for speaking. You know, folk always say, I'm just one of these plain folk, I just speak my mind. It's like these folk who say, I'll give you a piece of my mind. I've got a great answer for that one now. Anyone ever says to you, I'm just going to give you a piece of my mind, you should be saying to them, can you afford to? Afford to give me a piece? Even if some things are true, it doesn't mean we've got to say them. Those who consider themselves religious and do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves. Look at this. And their religion is worthless. Now, just think on that for a minute. God is just so practical. And he said it depends how you use your tongue. You could go to every home group in the church. You could come to every service in the church. You could memorize hundreds of Bible verses. But if your tongue isn't under control, then your religion, God says, is worthless. If I'm a gossip, my religion is worthless. If I spread rumors, my religion is worthless. If I always say things that are not accurate or impulsive in my speech, my religion is worthless, James says. The third test of maturity is to manage your mouth so that the only things that come out of your mouth are things of value. And I know I'll get some folk on this. Mark yourself, 1 for motor mouth, 5 for Colgate clean. D, a mature person is a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. In your conflicts, are you a peacemaker or a troublemaker? Or do you like to argue? Are you contentious? Are you easily hurt? Do you hurt the feeling of others? Peacemaker or troublemaker? One mark of a mature person is a lack of conflict in their own lives. And Paul wrote, a letter to the Corinthians, and this letter really is about their conflict, telling them that they thought they were very spiritually mature, and he says, you're far from mature, and you're not mature because of your conflicts and because of your behaviour. And if you look at 1 Corinthians, they just argue about everything. They argue about gifts. My spiritual gifts better than your gifts. They argued about communion. In fact, they had a Greek system for communion. If you were rich, you brought all the good stuff and you could scoff it all and drink the wine and you were half cut before it came to letting the poor folk in. And then they just came in with you. That's what they did. They argued about leadership. You've got to decide who's the best leader. I follow Paul, I follow Peter, Cephas, I follow Peter. Well, I'm the Holy One. I follow Christ. I'm the Jesus man. They argue about almost everything. And ask yourself about the level of conflict in your life. You know, conflict at work, conflict at home, conflict between you and your spouse, conflict between you and your friends, conflict between you and another Christian, conflict between you and God. And then think, what's the common denominator in all those situations? It's you! So, mark yourself on this one. One for fly off the handle easily, and five for as calm as a lamb. One to go. He says a mature Christian is patient and prayerful. James writes, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord comes. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crops patiently, waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. God says the mark of a mature person is someone who's patient and prayerful. You read chapter 5, you'll see that often these two words come up again and again. Patience and prayer. And express an attitude that's dependent on God himself. They're really saying, James is saying, be like a farmer. Now, have we got any farmers this morning? Nobody does farming now, do they? No. Anyone want to be a farmer? No. Well, I can see that. See, farmers do that. Yeah, there's half a farmer there. Who wants somebody who wants it? You've got a wee garden there. You could farm that. Farm the field next door. You'll never know. Farmers do a lot of waiting. Now, I know they do a lot of work. I know they do. But they do a lot of waiting. They plant seed and they wait. They look for rain and they wait. They need the sun to come out, even in Dumfries, and they wait a long time. You don't get any farmers sowing on Monday, then going on Wednesday or Thursday to take in their crop. It just doesn't happen. They know they've got to wait. There's no overnight crops. And James says, sometimes we've got to be like the farmer, we've got to wait. For answered prayer, sometimes we've got to wait. For a miracle of God's grace, sometimes we've got to wait. For a healing, sometimes we've got to wait. For God to sort us out, some of us have been waiting for a long time. Patience is a mark of maturity. And we teach our children to learn the difference between no and not yet. I don't think our kids ever got that, because we either said, you know, not yet or wait and see. And they said, we know wait and see means no. That's what they found about it. You know, oh, well, wait and see. No, that means no, Dad. But sometimes we've got to get the difference between no and not yet. At times God says to us, not yet. And it doesn't mean no, it means not yet. Sometimes we've got to wait. Sometimes God's got to mature us. Sometimes God's got to change us before what we're praying for is going to happen. James says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So the last one is, how patient and prayerful are you? Can you wait for God's timing rather than your own? So mark yourself. One is an impetuous imp. Five is very patient Pete. And there are the five tests this morning. How do you handle problems? Are you sensitive with people? Can you manage your mouth? Are you a troublemaker or a peacemaker? How long can you wait for the answer for God? Now, add up your marks. We have calculators. Don't need them. Add them up. Because this is going to determine what we do from now till Christmas. Anyone got less than 25? Let's see who's got less than 25. Yeah? Anyone not playing my silly games? Yeah? There's one or two of you there. Anyone get 25? get 25, Dad. You didn't get 25. No. That's all because you didn't hear two of them. Well, that was your chance to get out, because anyone who got 25, they could get a ticket of exemption for the next 10 weeks or so. But you've just sort of told me that we could learn something from the letter of James. We could learn about spiritual maturity. We could compare our lives with how mature we've got to be. So, next time, we're going to start looking in a bit more detail at the letter of James.